and welcome back to another Mean Green Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Reed Smith, and I am joined by, as always, my co-host, Milo Mahaltzis. How are you today, Mr. California?
Phenomenal. You know, I gotta admit, I think I gotta get used to this Friday recording schedule. I feel like, as of late, I have not been on my toes for the Another Mean Green Podcast.
Well, Lord.
You know, but I always show up. I always deliver. Always deliver. So here I am. Here we are.
We are showing up this Friday.
Ready to record another fabulous episode of Another Mean Green Podcast.
Yeah. We show up to things, and we don't really announce that we're going to show up to things. But
unlike certain teams, we show up. There's no direct shot at anybody in particular. I just want to throw that out there.
Good start. But yeah. Today is episode number 23. The old heads would say that it is Michael Jordan number of our podcast, but we being from the Gen Z, our fabulous, beautiful king, LeBron James.
We done with the 90s.
Yeah.
Done with the 90s.
Yeah, we're done with the 90s. And number 23 that we know is LeBron James. So it is our LeBron episode. Shout out to my glorious king. Bronny Poo, thank you for everything you do for me, pal.
Hey, LeBron, Ron.
You are my sunshine.
I saw that makes me think of the one meme that I saw. They put like a whole, they had a whole crowd singing that, and they're like,
oh my gosh,
LeBron's final game. It's pretty funny. I think it was like a soccer game where they were all like singing that.
Jeez. Does LeBron like know about the meme?
You know, he probably does. It's kind of like the Vine. Well, actually, I don't know, because I was going to reference the whole Vine years ago, LeBron James, and you know, he was obviously aware of that. But I don't know if he knows this one in particular. I feel like it hasn't gained enough traction yet.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is terminally online. So
yeah. Yeah, he is. Surprisingly, he's in tune with what goes on. Very similar to Drake. I know Drake is, he gets a lot of memes made after him. And Drake is very in tune. He's aware of it. Like Drake's the kind of guy to do X or Y. And so very in tune.
He's a Twitter Hall of Famer, too. Twitter Hall of Famer. For sure. But Milo, today is a significant day for many reasons, but one of those reasons are it is the first day of the Silver Boot Series, Rangers versus Astros. It is John's tragedy. We're not going to say which tragedy, but it is John's tragedy day. The Rangers are the reigning World Series champions, have started this season 4-2. The Astros have started 2-5. And, you know, I've been hyped up for it all day, Milo. All day I've been hyped up for it.
Honestly, I bet.
I'm going to tune into Bally Sports tonight and watch that game. To my utter and very pissed off shock, the game is on Apple TV Plus. And so I have to resubscribe to Apple TV. And that was like $18, but it's free for the next 2 months now.
That's my one gripe, and you know how I feel about that. I just feel like there's so many different streaming platforms that games are on, and it's just like, can we just have one? Can we just have one with everything? Like Apple TV, really? Like, why this one game in particular? Why is it not on Bally? Why is it not offered there?
It should be on Big Fox, to be honest. It should be on a national television.
Yeah, because it's a rivalry, of course.
It's probably the, you know, depending on how the season goes, this game, you know, in August, September will likely be very important. And, you know, this is a rematch of the American League Championship last season. So it's a big deal. But I completely agree with you. I think that there are too many streaming platforms for too many things. And listen, I know people that live where, just to be fair, I am not in any political party, but I know people on the left will be will be very upset for to hear me this, but that's why I'm cool with Monopoly. Like, if somebody if somebody wanted to like buy every single like TV station for Major League Baseball, and so the games would just be on one place, I would be completely fine with that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think for streaming and broadcasting, by all means, let's have one platform, because it's kind of out of hand. I mean, I witnessed it with mostly in football in particular. It's really bad with football because it's like every other week your game is on a different network, and you've got to, like, there's no one true streaming package that includes everything, which I know that a few months ago they announced that I think Hulu was going to combine with, they were going to merge ESPN Plus.
I'm all for that.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. It was like NBC, Paramount, and ESPN are all
it was a bunch of, and Fox.
So a bunch of those are going to combine and be one thing. And a lot of people, we're like, oh, up in arms. What's happening is it's just going back to what cable was.
Yeah.
You know, because cable was like one big thing, had all of the little things. And, you know, I think that people desired that because I, to be quite honest, I have Hulu Live, I have Fubo, and I have Sling. And I have ESPN Plus, and I have Paramount Plus, and I have Peacock. You know, because you have to have all six of those streaming platforms to watch what I need to watch. That's just absurd.
That's crazy.
I
mean,
yeah, I'm a soccer fan. I'm a football fan. I'm a baseball fan. And I want to watch all of those sports. So in order to do that, I have to have six subscriptions. Are some of the subscriptions my parents? Yes, but I do pay for some of them.
Yeah.
But it's still ridiculous. The point still stands that there's way too many streaming services that do different things, and it pisses me off. What pisses me off the most is that for soccer, you have to be on Paramount Plus. Now, Paramount Plus is a good platform. Like, that's don't get platform. Me lying.
Yeah.
It's a good platform, but we're legally obligated to say that as members of 24/7. We love you, Paramount Global. No, we're not actually, Paramount are my overlords. So,
yeah.
But no, unbiasedly, it's a good platform.
Yeah, I was actually mildly surprised. I think I downloaded it for the, national championship and then for the Super Bowl as well. Yeah. And I was very surprised by the quality. Now, Fubo, on the other hand, I think I downloaded Fubo once, and it's terrible. The quality is I feel like I've never gotten beyond like 720p quality.
I get 1080. Most of the time on Fubo for me for Ranger games, but it does the buffering thing where it's like pixely for 5 seconds.
And yeah, I got normal. That too. Yeah.
It does that all the time, so you get okay picture quality, but it's not the best. No, I do not like Fubo, but Fubo is the only thing that has Bally Sports now, so I cannot watch the Rangers unless I have Fubo. And the thing about that is, Milo, is that, you know, I used to be able to do MLB TV and then use a VPN to say, hey, I'm in Los Angeles, and it'd let me watch the Rangers because of blackout restrictions. Blackout restrictions are a whole different thing. I personally love what the NHL has done with ESPN Power Play, because you can watch every single Rangers game you want if you have ESPN Plus.
No, I mean... Can you? I don't even know. I think there's been games, like what I had to do was when the Rangers were in California, and they were playing Anaheim. I went to the game in LA, of course, but you know, when they played Anaheim, I had to download Bally Sports. I did like a free trial of Bally Sports.
So it is blacked out when they're
still blacked out on ESPN Plus.
So if you have ESPN Plus, you can watch non-market games.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I can watch pretty much every Rangers game aside from when they're playing a local team, you know, if they're playing Anaheim, if they're playing LA, but not San Jose, which is surprisingly not San Jose. But it's because San Jose doesn't use Bally. I think that's
why. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So kind of weird. But and that goes both ways. So if like Anaheim and LA, if they're in New York, I can still watch them through ESPN Plus or I. I can't watch them. I have to download Bally for it. But yeah, it's complicated. But ESPN Plus has done a good job with the NHL because it's all, for the most part, kind of there, aside from games that are on, aside from games that are on TNT. I mean, even there's games that are on ABC. And what I really like is when the games that are on ABC are available on ESPN Plus. They also do that. So that's really beneficial. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that is good. But no, baseball is historically the stingiest about blackout restrictions.
Yeah.
So like pretty much from Texas to Arkansas and Oklahoma and New Mexico, you cannot watch the Rangers.
Are you kidding me?
Unless you have Fubo.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful. So it's like the pretty much the entire Southwest can't watch the Rangers.
But like because... you can't just do like a Bally subscription, because I think with like Bally Sports, SoCal, they had a package where you could watch almost every Kings game, or I don't know if it included baseball or not, but they had a package where you could just stream it through the Bally Sports app.
Yeah, so that's a little more expensive than Fubo, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I just use Fubo, and Fubo has a bunch of stuff. I've been watching March Madness on Hulu.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. I wish Sling had more stuff, because Sling has the best app.
Sling. Never tried it before.
It has the best streaming quality, and it has the best app. So I wish it had more things, but it just doesn't. My dad had it for... I think I've mentioned this before. My dad's a big USC fan. Big USC guy, and that's the only place they had Pac-12 Network. Of course, the Pac-12 no longer exists, so next season he won't need it. He'll just need Big Fox to watch the Big Ten, which still saying USC and the Big Ten is weird as hell.
That is weird.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's my little rant to start the show. That I hate blackout restrictions. I hate how many streaming services they are. Life as a sports fan and sports reporter is miserable.
It's difficult. You have to surrender your credit card to 50 million platforms.
They're holding my credit card hostage. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get on to the show. And we're going to start in the dirt is softball. The
dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. On the hardwood, to the gridiron, and in the dirt. In the dirt, softball, UNT, 10 of 12, 1. That kind of sounds like a word jumble, but you got what I meant. 10 of 12 of their last games have been won by the Mean Green. Those two losses, one was to South Florida. The other was to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State on Wednesday night, number 6 team in the country. The Cowgirls did win 2-1, but the Mean Green showed good fight. Skylar Savage pitched like a savage in her fourth appearance against Oklahoma State. She went 5 2/3, gave up 2 earned runs, 1 run. The second run was, ironically, and get this, Milo, this girl named Jillian Poulard. So I remembered that name. She went to McNeese State. And do you want to know what her last base hit against North Texas was?
What was it?
2-run homer to take the lead in 2023. Her last base hit against North Texas, her latest, was a pinch hit opportunity to where she lined a single over the third baseman Tatum Sparks' head and gave Oklahoma State, her new team, the lead. So Jillian Poulard just likes pulling or hitting against UNT.
Yeah, she just crazy.
Enjoys it. Her last two hits.
Some players just have a knack for that kind of stuff. You know.
Yeah.
They might not say it. They might not say that, oh yeah, I love playing against these guys, but you know, deep down they know, and you can tell.
Yeah. And that's insane that, you know, Jillian Poulard there's no way she could have predicted that she'd be coming up against North Texas in a huge opportunity again. But then her last two appearances, and this is, I think it was really just like a reflection of college athletics in general right now, that she started in a group of five school in McNeese State. in the Southland Conference, and she had a two-run go-ahead home run on UNT. She transfers to Oklahoma State for her senior season, and she picks up right where she left off against the Mean Green. So, I mean, that was really something, because I remember seeing her at the beginning of the season in OSU's preseason conference. I'm like, dang, I didn't know Pollard played for Oklahoma State now. But sure enough, she did. And sure enough, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Welcome to 2024 college athletics. But the Mean Green are playing UAB right now as we are recording this podcast. Got my iPad to my left playing that game. And Milo, I think in my time, I have proven that I am a multifaceted journalist.
You're calling two games at once?
I've done this podcast. I've done audio stories. I've done all sorts of things. But now CBS, this will be sent to my reel. Listen, I'm not saying I'm the next Jim Nantz, but to my overlords at CBS, listen to this. Here comes the pitch to Cobb. That one's outside. It'll be a 1-0 count to the center fielder. Cobb, senior from Silver Lake, Kansas, steps in, batting under 250. 2-0 count to Lexi. It's a beautiful day here in Alabama. Sunset. Pitcher's ready. Here it comes. Down and away. That's a 3-0 count to Cobb. Sparks it first. She got on via a single. Just doinked one up the middle real quick. Got to first. Sparks, a native of Shawnee, Oklahoma. She was at Oklahoma State in 2022 before transferring after her freshman season to North Texas. Looks like Leanne is ready. Here comes the pitch. Down. Cobb walks, and that will be two on for the Mean Green. Still down 7-0, but got something cooking here in the top of the fifth. I mean,
beautiful.
You don't have to give me the sportscaster of the year yet, but, you know. I mean, I'm just giving you something to think about, CBS.
Yeah. They don't have to give you the Jim Nantz Award yet.
The Jim Nantz Award.
Yeah, that's what they give the top collegiate sportscaster of the year, right?
I think so, yeah. If it isn't Kevin Harlan this year, I swear to God, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling two games at once. All right, but no, it's looking like North Texas, unless they get ahead here or get some runs here, looking like they are going to lose consecutive games for the first time since February 24th and 25th, which is kind of astounding. Am I wrong? Oh, I'm wrong. Since March 3rd, pardon me, and a double or on a weekend series in Auburn. They lost to Northwestern and then Auburn on Sunday. So, yeah, consecutive losses for the first time since March 3rd. Unless they can come back, it's still the fifth inning. They got, you know, including this one, three more chances to come back here. If Wagoner can keep UAB in check for those two innings, we'll see. But the Mean Green, they've been good regardless. I mean, it's conference play. You knew it was going to be tough. The good thing about baseball and softball is, yes, UNT might lose today. It's looking likely that they will lose today. Well, good news. They have two more chances this weekend to get them back and win the series. You know, that's something good, something to look forward to. I have a question about the NHL because I was just thinking about this. Do they play series? Is it series for games or is it?
Well, they don't play back-to-back. Like, okay. I mean, it's rare they'll play back-to-back. Of course, they play the same team multiple times in a season, but they rarely will play back-to-back.
Gotcha. So that's more like, it's more basketball-like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's spread out throughout the season.
Okay, that makes sense. But no, just to wrap up the softball talk, 7-0 right now, 1-0 to Sierra Simon. She just swung at a pitch down the middle. It was a good pitch to swing at. She just didn't make contact, but it's 1-1 there. North Texas is fine. They bounced back really, really well this season. You know, they're going to be a something to be reckoned with in the conference tournament. They might win the damned regular season. They're currently tied with Florida Atlantic University, or as we call them on this podcast, Fraudulent Atlantic University. Fraudulent Atlantic University. They are currently tied with them at the top of the AAC. And, you know, every team except, I mean, every significant team, not to be mean to like tennis and golf and all them, but every team has been pretty competitive in American Athletic Conference play other than like football, but they were competitive.
Would you say that Fraudulent Atlantic is actually fraudulent in softball? Do you think they're fraudulent?
No, they're pretty good, man. They got probably the best pitcher in the conference in Gabby Sacco. I remember covering Gabby Sacco when she was a freshman, dude, and she was like, you know, she just looked like run-of-the-mill pitcher. And then all of a sudden, the last two seasons, she's turned into, like, prime Nolan Ryan. So, you know, she's pitching really well. No, I don't think they're fraudulent in softball at all. They're a good team. They damn near made a run to the semifinals last year in the Conference USA tournament in Louisiana. They were playing so well that I stayed back and watched them after.
No fluky?
No, it's not fluky. It twas not a bit fluky.
Twas not a bit fluky.
Was not about fluky. It was not a little fluky in the words of John Fields. But that's going to be a good run to the finish. You figure Wichita State will figure it out too. Wichita State was picked to win the conference in softball. You figure they're going to come around to say something about who's going to win the conference here in a little bit. UNT plays them at the end of this month. April 26th, April 27th, April 28th is when they play the Shockers. So that will be a huge series. Florida Atlantic is next week, so that's a big series. We'll be talking about that on the podcast, but first I have to go to Texas A&M Commerce on Wednesday. That'll be grand. Everybody
Where
knows
is that? How.
Commerce, Texas is in East Texas, and Milo, it's pretty close to it's pretty close to Bonham.
Oh, yeah, you're yeah. That's you got some history there.
Yeah, so I might be traveling to I'll be traveling to Iraq on Wednesday.
Well, you never know. You might have an unwelcomed place to lodge if needed.
No,
God
good.
Forbid
no,
if
I'm
you run right. into another yeah, Houston no, situation.
Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah, we're dropping that right there. But anyway, top of the fifth right now. And Milo, speaking of Fraudulent Atlantic University, we have not mentioned this on the podcast. Can't believe we didn't. Dusty May is gone. The Dusty Pack. He is now Michigan's head coach. And along with him in the portal now are Big Vlad, Vladdy Goldin, or Golden, whatever, how you pronounce it. Vladislav Golden. He is in the transfer portal, and so is Jonnell Davis. But you think FAU looks rough? Let me tell you about North Texas. Let's get to the hardwood, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is.
North Texas has five starters, all five starters, in the portal.
It's all gone. It's all gone. That's it. Everything that you watched throughout this year, it's all gone. All five of those guys that started night in, night out. Bye-bye.
Yep. Robert Allen, portal. Reuben Jones, portal. Aaron Scott, portal. John Bugs, portal.
Should add the boom sound effect. The Vine boom sound effect after each
Jason
one.
Edwards. Reuben Jones. We talked about Jason Edwards last week.
Portal. That's crazy.
That's five starters plus a role player and Christian Moore. And the irony. The irony is that, do you know who remains on the team?
Who?
Matthew Stone.
Yep.
UNT Twitter's least favorite player, Matthew Stone.
He said, I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving. So, Milo, we differ from a lot of podcasts. I think we all know that.
Yeah.
Ross Hodge is a good guy. I like Ross Hodge. I think Ross Hodge is a great coach. But let's dispel this misconception right now. Ross Hodge, while he was the assistant coach under McCasland, he is not Grant McCasland, and he is not going to build a team exactly like McCasland. The misconception was that they thought that every one of the players that came from McCasland to Hodge would just be like, oh, well, it's exactly the same as when Grant McCasland is here. No, it's a completely different coach. And I think that Ross Hodge needs to build his own team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one thing, I mean, you kind of touch on it, but he's also not McCaslin when it comes to recruiting, right? Yeah. So they lost all these guys, and it's going to be really interesting to see who can they go out and get with Ross Hodge, you know, leading the way. I think UNT fans, I mean, it's going to be, I personally think that, and I might eat my own words here, but immediately when I found out that they lost all five of the guys to the transfer portal, and this was gradually over the week, but when I found out, my initial reaction was, this team is going through rebuild now, and it's not going to be a quick 1-2 done rebuild. It's going to be a couple of years, probably. I think UNT might fall back down. You might see a little bit of struggles here for the next two years at least.
Yeah, and listen, Ross Hodge is a very capable coach. He has proven that.
Oh yeah,
he proved that when he was a junior college coach. He's proven that as an assistant coach, and you know this year as a head coach. But he needs his own guys. He needs to recruit his own guys. He does not need to recruit. He didn't. I could have told you that the guys that were recruited by McCaslin weren't going to be as good under Hodge as they were going to be under McCaslin. But that's absolutely how the university, you know, advertised it, that don't worry, guys, it's going to keep going under Ross Hodge. It's a chip off the old McCaslin block.
Yeah. And the fans reacted the same way too. Yeah.
And listen, Hodge, give him his dues where they're due. Hodge deserved that job, and he got that job, and he did a solid job in year one. But here's the thing. You cannot have sky-high expectations of a coach in year one, no matter who it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I tried to say that. I tried to say that at the beginning of the year. I said, this team is not going to be the same. It's not the same team. I know you guys say, oh, well, you know, it's Ross Hodge. He's right there with McCaslin the whole time. Some people were saying he's the mastermind behind why UNT's defense was so good. I think it was defense, offense, I don't remember. Yeah. But they were saying, he played such a pivotal role, and so because of that, we shouldn't have to worry at all. No. I think, unfortunately, you're now faced with the reality that you're going through a rebuild, and it's going to be kind of rough here for the next
one. Well, Milo, the thing is you can play as good as defense you want when you can't have somebody score.
Yeah.
When you need them, the one guy that can go and score when you absolutely need him to, then you're not going to be successful. That's just how it is. You got to have a score. And listen, Jason Edwards was a first half scorer, in my opinion. Second half, all season, disappeared.
Yeah. I mean, he could have been that guy. Again, like we said on the last episode, if he decided to stick around for another year or two, he could have been that guy going forward. But, you know, he's gone. And, you know, that kind of ties into another point that I wanted to make, which was, why did everyone transfer, right? What gives? Because we saw a similar situation play out in football, right? Yeah. A whole team pretty much dipped. And you start to wonder, was it like a cultural thing? Did the players kind of feel that this team had, this roster has no upside, and they kind of want to see immediate success?
Was it an NIL thing? You know,
right.
You just never know.
Yeah.
There's so many things in 2024 that could force a player to leave.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a lot of these guys, for Ruben, Aaron, I think it was more benefit of the doubt. You know, you have a better chance of making the NBA if you broadcast yourself on a higher level of the sport.
I mean, it's so funny because we literally said that last episode.
Yeah, we did.
I said, Aaron Scott, if anything, it would behoove you to hit the transfer portal, maybe get a change of scenery, and you know, that might bolster your chances of playing ball post UNT.
For sure. Yeah. And let me get this absolutely true. We don't call ourselves the non-green pilled podcast for nothing. We have made many, between both of us, really, we have made so many predictions in football season and basketball season. And yes, to be transparent, this is likely going to be the only full year of UNT athletics we cover. We're still going to have a podcast, but we're running out of months to cover UNT. But in the time that we have covered UNT on this podcast, and we will continue covering UNT on this podcast, we have been much more right than we have been wrong. We predicted that football would go 5-7. we predicted that, of course, I was a little bit more careful about it. We predicted that Ross Hodge was not going to, you know, or North Texas basketball, really, not just Ross Hodge, was not going to have the season that everyone thought they would. We predicted that. Yeah. We say these things because we don't like deceiving or licking the boot for less
because,
of a term.
Because we look at this without the green colored glasses.
Yeah.
Right. We look at this from a 100% transparent viewpoint.
Yeah.
You know, and any sports fan can take a look at the situation that's going on at UNT and say, okay, here's what could happen to improve the team, or here's what we think is most likely going to happen. And, you know, when you take away the biases, you have a pretty good chance of being right.
Nata Gakite Iru no wa, another Mean Green podcast.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, like, you looked at that football team last year, you knew it was the best that it was going to be was 6-6 with a, you know, appearance in like the Chuck's Cheesesteak Philly Bowl. like you knew that.
Yeah. The Frisco Bowl, the Armed Forces Bowl.
Remember that game that I covered this game, so I can't believe I don't remember what it's called. The fake bowl they made for UNT just as like a last second thing.
And they made a fake bowl for UNT? What was it?
It wasn't a fake bowl, but it was like a one-year bowl because too many teams were bowl eligible, and they didn't have enough bowls to like accommodate every team. And so they added for Miami, Ohio, and North Texas, they added the Frisco one. It wasn't the Frisco Bowl. It was
the Frisco Football Classic?
Yeah, the Frisco Football Classic. It was cold
as
hell.
That's a joke, yeah.
The press box was tiny as hell. And I'm like in there like this, pretty much, next to Steve Helwick. Shout out Steve Helwick with Underdog Nation. With Steve Helwick to my left, Brett to my right, and Mike Craven from the Dave Campbell's Texas Football to my right. Good guys, follow them on Twitter. Became mutuals with them at that game. But we were both like this. The only good thing about those games is the food they catered was top tier.
Really?
Yeah, they gave us like sliders and stuff the first time. And then for the Frisco Bowl in 2022, they gave us like really good barbecue. So, and good dessert. I remember they had banana pudding, which is my favorite type of pudding. But anyway, crazy. I'm getting off track a little bit there. But no, the Frisco Football Classic. But no, we could have told you what this season was going to be for these teams. And what do you know? We're correct. I am so tired of coverage that misleads a fan base. And then when the team underperforms to the sky high expectations that they had, then they don't go, wow, the people that said all this misled us. They go, oh man, this is UNT's fault. This is the players and the coaches' fault.
Shucks. And it's like, I'm sorry. I understand being a fan. You want to remain optimistic.
Yeah.
But like, if you're covering, I don't know.
Hey, Milo, you're a Hockey Rangers fan and I'm a Baseball Rangers fan. We're not optimistic people.
Like, I mean, we're
don't lie to me.
I think it's also just the way you feel about sports. I know plenty of people that love sports. And they take the high road. They take the optimistic approach, you know, and they kind of ignore all of the potential red flags with their sports team. And then they get upset and they're all down and so disheartened at the fact that their team has lost and their season is over. And it's like, dude, if you just faced reality sooner, you wouldn't be so disappointed, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not telling UNT fans how to be a fan or not to be a fan. I'm not saying that at all. Just complete disclosure.
Sports team however the hell you want.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm a journalist. Obviously, I'm going to see it much differently for a team I cover. I'm going to see it more realistically. Milo is an alumni that's not a super huge fan of UNT. he's going to see it differently than someone that's a diehard, yeah. You know, but the thing is, it's, if you put this much pressure, we've talked a lot about overpromising and underdelivering, and the programs, especially really football, they really overpromised in 2022 or in 23, and then they severely underdelivered. Now, was that slightly the coaching staff's fault for starting Earl over Rodgers? Yeah, because
you could have won an extra game or two, if not.
They probably make a bowl if Rodgers starts against FIU. If he plays four quarters against Florida International, put on your bowling shoes. You're going bowling. Like,
yeah.
Stone Earl threw three picks in that game. So, and then in the second half, he had an injury. His calf was tight.
Yeah, so I mean,
then he never played another quarter.
Laughing, yeah. But
no, it's not funny. But I just don't think that I think that him being injured offered UNT a chance, and I agree with what Bonzai just said. Shout out to your cat.
I didn't know you.
Yeah, I heard. You'll hear it on the podcast, but he concurred with my opinion. Yeah. So appreciate that. The point is that all these teams are losing players, and it may not be because of the culture. It may not be because of the money, but it's because of something, and you can't rule out those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to be a realist.
Yep.
But it brings me to my final thing. Oh, my gosh. I'm saying that because Kaylee Smith is in the game, the rarely used sophomore pitcher.
No relation, by the way.
No relation. Yeah, I'm not related to Kaylee or Michaela Smith. They are not Filipino by any means. But you look at a team like softball, for instance. You know, they have had their core of girls that are my age, and Kaylee Gamble, Kaylee Christensen, Molly Rainey, Michaela Smith, Lexi Cobb. You know, they've had that core offensive unit for all 4 years of their tenure. Obviously, Rainey was a transfer from UCF, but because of COVID, she was pretty much a freshman. They have kept that core of players. And Kaylee Gamble has been an elite hitter. She is like an all-regionalist 2 years in a row. Kaylee Gamble, you can't tell me that she couldn't have transferred somewhere else. DeLong has told me that, you know, they had other options and they just didn't take them. And so, Milo, this is the most Dodori thing I'll ever say in my life. But look at UNT softball. They 30-plus wins in multiple years, have won an NCAA tournament game, have consistently been a conference threat, even this year in the AAC. People want to come to North Texas. People want to stay in North Texas because of what Rodney DeLong has built here. You know UNT softball will win. They had that rough start, but you knew they'd figure it out. They started 9-11, and now they're 21-14. It's a winning culture. And regardless of the money, regardless of the, you know, the upside to leaving, the grass is greener philosophy, people want to play for Rodney DeLong. People want to win. And that is the key thing, which is the most Dodori thing. If you want to keep your players, then win ball games.
Yeah.
You know?
It's that simple.
Jason Burton only had one player in the portal.
Yep.
You know?
That's it. And then you look at football and basketball, and they all left.
Yep.
So I know it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done to just say, oh, just win games. And, like, you know, there's so much that goes into that, but still.
Coaches like Rodney DeLong and Jason Burton show you can win it. And Grant McCaslin formerly show other programs that you can win at North Texas. You can. It's possible. You know.
But you can
do it. Yeah. But you can do it. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, UNT is like, softball wise, it's like they make waves. Every year they make waves.
Yeah.
I've covered this team for four seasons now, and every year they have been downright competitive. I mean, hell, they had a top five pitcher of all time on their team for 4 years. So, you know, it's something. It's interesting. And you just got to look at that culture, man.
Yeah.
Check that culture.
And softball has done that.
And
women's basketball has mended.
They're
that
on the
culture.
Way to do
They're
that.
They're on the yeah. way. Yeah.
You know, Lampkin, Tamisha Lampkin should be playing major basketball next year. Instead, she chose to stay with UNT.
Yeah. I think that says a lot about the culture that's being built there.
That says a lot. Yeah. They recruit well too. So, you know, shout out to Jason Burton and Rodney DeLong. Kings. No, they're great coaches. Obviously great for culture. Been great interviews too. But I do want to move on, Milo, potentially for the last time, to the gridiron. Let's get to the gridiron. UNT football and Eric Morris play their spring football game tomorrow. It is green versus white. And unlike last season, it is not full contact, which was the dumbest thing I've ever seen ever in my life, that they made the spring game full contact. It's like, yeah, let's try to hurt our players before fall. No. So it is not full contact. I believe they'll stop them on stoppages and different things like that. Quarterbacks are no contact. You cannot touch the quarterbacks.
Good.
To get them down. If it looks like they're going to be sacked, they'll blow the whistle. So, but Milo, I kind of want to talk about the phantom quarterback battle.
Yeah.
There is no quarterback battle in the spring. There is no war in Bossing Say. There is no quarterback battle because Stone Earl is back, and sure, he'll challenge in the fall. But Reese Mooney, Cash McCollum, the other quarterbacks on the roster, pretty much both true freshmen. Reese Mooney transferred from Liberty and has never appeared in a college game in his life. So he's a true freshman. He's one for the future. Cash McCollum is 17 years old and an early enrollee from China Springs, Texas, a former 4A state champion. Looks a lot like a freshman quarterback right now. So there's no quarterback battle. Right now, it's just Stone Earl is there because he knows the offense, and Reese and Cash are there because they're going to be something for the future.
No Chandler Morris?
No Chandler Morris. He's been to a few practices, but he will not be practicing with the team until summer. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think there's any battle there. Of course, it's just really Stone Earl just doing his thing. Get some reps in, prepare to be the backup, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing.
He could challenge Morris.
Well, here's my maybe. But maybe. Okay, so when Chandler Morris comes on campus, you know, a P5 starter who showed solid production before he was replaced by Hudson, or Hoover rather, Josh Hoover at Texas Christian. Is there battle? I mean, I'm sorry. Did Morris not learn from 2023?
Yeah, I don't know.
I believe there's a cautionary tale about starting a man named Stone over a man named Chandler.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, if anything, maybe you have to, maybe, you know, they say lightning strikes twice. So maybe you got to play out the same scenario as last year, right? Have Stone Earl name him the starter. And after two games, maybe, you know, something goes wrong with that leg again and Chandler Morris.
Okay. But here's my thing. If Stone is beat out, which is the most likely scenario, does he just hit the portal again?
You have to. Again, this is the stance that I will take until I die, which is if you're not getting your opportunity here, go get a fresh start somewhere else. And yeah. I think Stone Earl has to do that. Didn't he hit the portal, leave, and then come back?
He hit the portal and committed to ACU and then came back.
Yeah, he was going to do the old, let me go back home. Because he originally was with ACU, then UNT, and then tried to go back to ACU, and now back to UNT. So he's flip-flopping. And maybe he hits ACU one last time.
He tried to do the dash, got to Abilene, and said, oh, God, no.
Yeah,
no,
he said, I can't go back.
I can't go back here.
Yeah. I don't know. But if Stone Earl doesn't break through here, and he's the backup yet again, You got to be looking at the transfer portal.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I think Morris is going to win. I mean, but that's the thing about spring football and quarterbacks is that the quarterback position just does not matter at all right now.
Even in training camp, even in like, you know, it's still, you don't know. That's kind of what we had in a situation last year, right? That's what we saw. Chandler Rogers didn't really make any waves in training camp. And then come regular season, all of a sudden he's the man. So,
well, the thing was, is that Chandler Rogers pretty much was the foregone conclusion. The difference between Chandler and Stone is that they practiced differently. Stone played the game intensity during practice. Chandler just didn't. You know?
He said, this doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like all spring, last spring, he looked so bad. And then in the spring game, it's like, oh, there he is. Like, that's who the team actually expected. So it was more of a matter of he didn't practice well, and then he paid for it by not starting. So, yeah. But no, I mean, it cost UNT more than anything. So,
yeah, it did.
Yeah, is what it is, man. But no, there's no quarterback battle in Denton right now. Stay tuned for when my replacement takes over. He'll talk to you about that. I'm sure Milo and I will have something to say in fall about that. But, you know, yeah. I wonder if they'll have – will they have a replacement podcast at 24/7?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm trying to think. It would not be another Mean Green podcast. It will be an additional Mean Green podcast.
another Mean Green podcast.
Yeah, another Mean Green podcast too.
The person that takes over. Hello and welcome to the other Mean Green podcast.
The other.
Hey, listen. Yeah. I know who it is, and I hope he has a friend that lives in California that has extremely bold takes, or the podcast won't work.
That's vital to the success.
Yep. Yeah. Is what it is. You know, it also is vital to the success of this podcast, which asterisk will continue after, you know, after my career moves on. We're going to continue this podcast. I think I've made that very clear. It will be its own thing by then, though. So stay tuned for that. We'll have some waves over summer on what we're doing with that. Still kind of deciding on what we're going to do.
Still under the weather to be determined.
We know it won't be a Mean Green podcast, but we're not really positive what it will be. College sports for sure, but we'll keep you updated as the summer goes on. For now, until June, it is another Mean Green podcast carried by Mean Green 24/7. We'll update you going forward after that. But another integral thing for this podcast is your take. And if I check that timing, I believe it is time for it.
Better check that timing. It's time for Miles' take.
Can you believe it? Bronny James has hit the transfer portal. I need to restart. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I need to restart. Bronny James, that's what we thought would happen. We thought Bronny James would hit the transfer portal, but as a matter of fact, he has taken it one step further, and he's entered the NBA draft. The NBA, Bronny James, the NBA, he's 19 years old, right?
Yep.
He's 19 years old.
He's all of 19 years old, too.
And he has entered the draft, NBA draft. After the season that he had at USC, wasn't he averaging like 5 points per game?
He was, yeah.
Yeah. It was very clear that he was a freshman.
He's a good defensive player.
Yeah. Good defensive player. Did not show that he is a generational talent. Did not show that he is ready for the NBA at all. But he said, you know what? I'm going to go play with daddy in the NBA.
There's a caveat. He's done the thing where he can enter the NCAA basketball has a rule where you can enter the draft. And then if you're not drafted, you can just come back and enter the portal. So that's what's going to happen. If he's not drafted, he'll just go and transfer to play somewhere. But where would that be is the question. You hear Duquesne a lot, but
yeah,
you never know.
You know, I also heard Ohio State as well being thrown out there, but I don't know if that's
Braun.
Yeah, that's just Braun. But so you say you don't know if he's going to be drafted, right? I think that's kind of the question. I think look, I think whatever team Braun is on, he's going to get drafted to it. Unfortunately, because this is where my take comes in. Unfortunately, this move by Bronny James is stunting his development.
Yeah.
It's stunting his development. I think he needs at least another year of college.
Yeah.
I
mean, the kid needs to spend 4 years in college.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And the lights are too bright. The lights are too bright for him. I mean, you couldn't even average more than 5 points per game in college. And now you're going to go play in the NBA. And it's literally going to feel like a charity moment. It's going to be like, yeah, we're throwing you in here because of your dad. And this is another thing that I just thought of. If you don't want, like, how are you as an individual? You kind of want to write your own story. You kind of want to write your own legacy. And by doing this, essentially, what's going to happen is you will now be synonymous, of course, as if you weren't already synonymous with your dad. But now the story on you, the book on you is that, oh, you were only able to make it to the NBA. You were only able to play at least one game in the NBA because of your daddy.
Because your jersey says James Jr.
Literally playing for the name on the back of your jersey as opposed to the name on the front.
Yeah.
And I think it's not a good situation. It's very clear that Bron wants to play with his son one last time before calling it quits. And Bron clearly does not have four more years in his tank to wait or sit around and wait for his son to make it to the NBA. No. So this whole move, it's very clear that it's orchestrated by his dad. And what most likely is going to come is he's going to get drafted by whatever team his dad's on, whether that be the Lakers or another team. And Bronny's going to play at least one game with his dad.
And I just think that's not fair to Bronny Jr. He is a good player. He's good on defense, but he is not a complete player yet. And he won't be for a while. And, you know, instead of being a complete player in 2 to 3 years in college, now it's, if he is drafted and plays somewhere, now it's going to be who God knows how long, if ever.
Yeah, if ever, right? And this is the kind of stuff that can really mess you up as a player. I mean, it's something where if you enter too early, you potentially might not even reach you'll stunt your potential. So at minimum, I mean, I kind of see him, you know, if he's drafted, he plays a game or two before they send him down to the G League. They say, look, Bron, we can't keep your son here. He can't run with the big guns. So they send him down to the G League, and you know, 2-3 years later, he finally makes it up to the league, up to the NBA when his dad's retired, and he plays out the rest of his career as a role player.
Yep. Yeah, so, and that's just not fair to the kid.
Yeah, whereas if he stays in college, you know, he might be able to establish himself as a starter potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. Again, this is all just, you know, a take. It's Milo's take. So I'm just throwing out what I predict is going to happen here.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you this week. I mean, not great. Not great, Bob. All right. Yeah. You know what else is not great? Being a freaking... I'm not gonna
Being a freaking cornball. Being
a freaking cornball, which is a cornball statement in itself. But I can tell you something about cornballs. Caleb Yum, if you're listening, turn it off now. You don't want to hear this. Michael Penix Jr. is my cornball of the week. And listen, my thoughts on Michael Penix Jr. as a player have been made very clear. I don't think he's going to be an NFL talent. Pretty much everyone else does. I don't think so, though. You might be asking yourself now, how has he landed on cornball of the week? And let me tell you, folks, there was a post, I believe, on the Boardroom or ESPN. Can't remember which one. One of those Instagram accounts where they posted a picture that said Michael Penix Jr.'s built different. And you're thinking it's going to be like him throwing the ball. No, it's on the mirror and pretty much the walls of his house. There are football plays drawn all over it.
So Michael Penix Jr. is acting like Oppenheimer. He's looking a little Oppenheimer-y. essentially, where he's got equations, formulas all over the board. But yeah. No, this time, instead of being in a lecture hall, he's in his bathroom. Yep. And there's his mirror. Instead of having a chalkboard, it's a mirror. And he's writing out the plays. That's very cornball-y. I love Michael Penix, but really, dude?
You know, he really did say theory can only get you so far. Well, yeah. Michael Penix Jr.'s theory was being a cornball. And let me tell you, in practice, it worked. He is a cornball, and I'm sure he will be very proud to accept his cornball of the week. And I'm going to make a call to my beloved Seattle Seahawks right now in 2 weeks not to draft him. So, you know, for the Seahawks, it's Jaden Daniels if he falls, Bo Nix if not.
Yeah.
Bo Nix will be a better player than Michael Penix. Book it.
Yeah.
I know they're free to take.
You're very high on Bo Nix, Mr. Fifth Year.
I have made my opinions on Penix and Nix very, 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 very clear. But Michael Penix Jr., buy a notebook. Buy a binder.
Buy a playbook. I don't know.
Yeah, buy something. Just don't be a cornball and write it all over your house. Your house looks like a damn exhibit in an art museum. Cut it out. Anyway, Milo. Who's your cornball of the week?
Rashee Rice did the dash, and it didn't end well. Rashee Rice, of course, he's from Texas, I believe. I know he played at SMU.
And for the purpose of legality, allegedly.
Allegedly did the dash, yeah. So he allegedly... Actually, no, it's not even alleged. It's confirmed now, as of today... I think that because it says Rashee Rice confirmed Thursday, which is yesterday, his attorney got to credit his attorney. Let's do that. His attorney confirmed that Rice acknowledged driving the Lamborghini involved in a multi-vehicle crash. Mm-hmm. He was driving really fast and, on weed. Because they found weed in the car too, I believe. And yeah, he got into a pretty brutal wreck. Not sure I know the full details of the story, but really could result in a felony, state jail felony. That's what they've got written down here. This is from WFAA. I'm pulling it from them. So credit FAA. That's very cornbally material for Rashee Rice to do that. And then I think they also had an incident where he got into this crash and then they couldn't find him, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, his warrant was, I don't even think it was a warrant. Wasn't it just like he was a person of interest?
Yeah.
Like they wanted him. They wanted to find him.
Yeah. Yeah. Rashee Rice, I know that there's been, of course, thankfully he was not hurt in this situation.
And no one else was hurt, yeah.
And no one else was hurt, thank God. But, actually I'm reading it again. So there was a white SUV that was involved in the crash and someone did get hurt, but nothing deadly, of course.
Like nothing that could have been deadly.
Right. But still very cornball-y material for Rashee Rice doing the dash. And, he did issue an apology statement on Instagram, to kind of redeem himself. But nevertheless, that does not stop him from being named cornball of the week for me.
Very good cornball. Yeah. If you're an NFL player, specifically a wide receiver, please be safe behind the wheel of a car. Really, if you're anyone, be safe behind the wheel of a car. Nobody would like to be injured. Nobody wants that. So, man, that might be the end of Rushy's career, depending on this.
One last tidbit.
Okay.
The car that he crashed was not even his. He was leasing the Corvette because there was a Corvette and a Lambo. He was leasing the Corvette and renting the Lambo. So he crashed a rental.
Dang.
That kind of solidifies the cornball. Because it's not even yours, and you're driving like that.
Well, this is really? Why they say you shouldn't rent a car until you're 26.
Yeah, there you go. If there were any questions, in which I have had my questions before as to why the age to rent a car is so damn high, there it is.
Oh my gosh, on the Rangers broadcast, they just showed Fort Worth instead of Dallas. That is such a W. They always show Dallas. But no, side note, podcast listeners, they always show, oh, we're here in Dallas, but Arlington is closer to Fort Worth. They just showed Fort Worth. Apple TV, I'm sorry for what I said about you earlier in the episode. I love you. You're my favorite place. I rep the 817. That is my phone number. It starts with an 817. So that is it, Milo, for the show.
That is it.
What are you doing this weekend?
On the topic of Rashee Rice and cars, I will not be crashing any exotic cars. I will not be driving any exotic cars. However, I'm going to be checking out a lot of exotic cars. I'm going to go to two different car shows. I think that's on our agenda. Tomorrow, the local Porsche dealership is doing their monthly Cars and Coffee, and so we're going to check that out. That's right down the street from us. And then I think there's one in Malibu that we want to go check out. So we're going to go take the trip down to Malibu and go check that out. And that should have a lot more exotic cars. Maybe some cars that Rashee Rice was looking at too. At that rental dealership.
Oh, just perhaps, maybe. Who knows? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. It should be an eventful weekend. What about you?
I have a pretty light weekend. I will just be doing nothing this weekend other than watching Rangers baseball and UNT softball there in Alabama, as I said. So we'll not be doing too much this weekend. Don't have work until next Wednesday. And then I don't have class on Monday because the solar eclipse. So it's just a chill, nice little weekend. I'll probably spend a lot of it calling Kasich. We will see. Yeah. Other than that, just a chill day, chill weekend. Looking forward to it. Haven't had a break much lately. Finally get a break now. But that will be the break in the action and the break in episode 23 of Another Mean Green Podcast. Thank you for listening so much, listeners. We value you so much, and we love you. We really do. But if you love listening to this podcast, then you'll love becoming a VIP for Mean Green 24/7. Is a Mean Green 24/7 VIP. You'll get to see a number of things, including my final series for 24/7 Sports, a look at every position group for the Mean Green over summer before football season starts. And the rest of the softball season, I will likely have some VIP things there as well. You want to be a VIP, and even after my departure from 24/7, you'll want to be a VIP. And so I encourage you all listeners to become one and stay one, because we put out good content at 24/7 and we put out good content on Another Mean Green Podcast. And we are not in the portal. It seems like everybody at UNT is in the portal, but Milo and I are not in the portal. We are right here staying in this podcast. I am not going to be joining the green room anytime soon, and I don't want to. So we're staying where we want.
A little name drop there.
Hey, I mean, listen, it's not a name drop. It's not a name drop. It's a transfer portal joke. Anyway, we're done. See you later, guys.